I bet Jane has a question.
No, I was just going to say, Carol, when she said that about the earth, that just helped me make a connection. Because I was trying to imagine what the dark soul journey would be for Lucifer. Made the book up to take that soul journey in order to finally. So I was just kind of struggling, but then when you said that about the earth, that it would be an earth struggle, I guess.
Yep.
Versus what you, this power, this earth stuff, and then what we're going through now, I think, is easing the dregs of the power conflict. So I just wonder what dregs he. And,
well, I was just going to say, I think religion still suffers from power too, in its shadow side.
I mean, if Lucifer is the dark side of Christ, what would, you know? And the Christ shadow is power. Then you know, just trying to imagine what the dark soul journey would be for Lucifer.
Probably, you know, I think we're going to get it handed to us in two places, the Arabs and the Earth. And neither are going to give up.
So you're wondering what the shadow of Lucifer is. Is that what you're trying to say?
There's a part of it, I wonder, is coming to grips that we have, that aspect of Satan, whatever the part of it are now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That we, in fact, have that as a part of ourselves and coming to grips with that.
No, we just call it evil.
And yep. I was trying to look at it from the flip side. I mean, we studied what our shadow side is from the Christ side, because, you know, we're so damn perfect, you know, and all that crap. So then, okay, so what would it be looking at it from the Lucifer side?
I'm just guessing that. I wondered if it would bring on a. You may have seen that in your class. I wonder if it wouldn't bring on a deep sense of being responsible for a lot of the hell that you know,
yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep.
And what that effect would be on.
Okay. Last sentence on the second paragraph. Nothing new. Last two sentences, sorry. Without such an exodus, his inner split is not able to be healed.
What page?
97, second paragraph, second to the last sentence.
Yeah.
Without such an exodus, his inner split is not able to be healed. What we just said, hopefully. Uh, 97, second paragraph, next to the last sentence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The dark side is so for the precious savior. Wouldn't you say someone in prison? I just
thought, yeah.
You know, maybe for life.
And what do you think you dream of during this period of your growth? Being in prison. Just a sentence I particularly like. I think you'll see how it fits in. That last quote of Jung, starting with the dark god. See where I am? And now go to about halfway down. The guilty man is eminently suitable and is therefore chosen to become the vessel for the continuing incarnation. Not the guiltless one who holds aloof from the world and refused to pay his tribute to life. For in him, the dark god would find no room.
That what 9/10 of the population is.
Right.
You mean consciously guilty, though? Is that what you?
Well, that again, don't be afraid to make mistakes. And don't see this as a process to avoid. The purpose of this isn't to become pure, but to learn from your battle with the world. He contrasts the Christian idea expressed in Isaiah 42, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Now that, the reason I mentioned that, that is the epitaph? The first sentence in the title page is a word for that. Epigram. That's the epigram to one of Jung's books, and I tried to find it quickly this morning, and I couldn't, but you'll come across that at some point. But see, that's one side of our understanding of God. That's what he's trying to drive at. And then that excludes the dark side. Which... That's a description of the suffering servant, which is in Isaiah, the prefiguration of Christ. That he's this very gentle character. See the last sentence on page 97.
That's the good Christ.
The good Christ.
Description of the good Christ.
The light Christ. Is that right?
Yep. And he's doing that now because he's bringing this into contrast with the depiction of Christ in the book of Revelation, which is a Christ filled with fire and brimstone and double-edged sword and smoting the world, saying that's what we have to deal with today.
Did you say that the double-edged sword somehow meant like life and death?
Well, more he's just trying to show that there's a gentle image of Christ and then there's a non-gentle image of Christ. There's a kind and a violent. And when Christ appears in Revelation, it's a violent image of Christ. Okay. To show how that dimension of the self is returning, even though for how many books of the Bible Christ has been this wonderful, sweet, gentle guy.
So who is the dragon in Revelation? Is it the dragon as we know it throughout mythology?
Let's talk about that, because that's that. Remember I started off mentioning continuing incarnation? That was to prepare you for this passage. In the book of Revelation, let me summarize for you, and then try to bring it into relation to Pali. John sees the what's called the apocalyptic Christ, who is just wreaking destruction on huge segments of the world until everybody is either destroyed or saved. And then the book, at the almost the very end, presents an image of a woman. I think she's standing on the moon, and she's clothed with the sun, and she's pregnant, and there's a dragon waiting to snatch up the child, so that when the child is born, it has to be lifted up into heaven, because if it were to live on earth, it would be devoured by the dragon. Ellinger talks a lot about this in the archetype of the apocalypse, and he's spinning off from Jung, Answer to Job, so we're still on the Answer to Job thing. But the idea is that that is the image of resolution. And the image of resolution is a union of opposites. And the child is the change in psychological attitude coming out of the union of opposites. What have to do with this? Well, the dark and light side itself. That's why he mentioned the gentle Christ, and then he refers to the violent Christ. But at that time in history, the psychological attitude represented by the birth of that child could not survive the lack of ego strength in antiquity. So the child being taken up to heaven would represent the fact that the shift in attitude was potentially there 2,000 years ago, but it wasn't ready to be realized, because the dragon would represent the brutality and hedonism of the times. But Jung feels now is the time for that child to return. So it's just another image of what we've been talking about all along, but emphasizing the historical relevance of our discussion. What Pauli is going through with this union of science and religion, with the issue of the dark side of the self and the transformation of science, the transformation of religion, that's the union in the sun and the moon woman. And that's the kind of pressure modern times is putting on people of consequence more and more. And it is now possible to birth the attitude, which is the solution to the problems we're talking about. But it's been prefigured, and it's a latent challenge to Western civilization. Pauli just being one example. The other point Jung makes in the second indented quote on page 98 is that this boy, by the fact that he's a boy, and then Jung's going back to the boy in antiquity, would be this pagan feeling for nature. Well, see, that was the sausages in the house. That is another dimension of what we are being asked to deal with, and that's what we talked about in the Sophia class. And also what Pauli is faced with. Saying the same thing in different words, the last quote on 98, everything now depends on man, immense power of destruction is given into his hand, and the question is whether he can resist the will to use it, and can temper his will with the spirit of love and wisdom. Saying it differently, now hopefully you can see how we're circling back around to Pauli's original question. What's going wrong? What do we need to learn from Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Okay? Maria, 99. All we're doing now is walking around this image, and we're walking around this idea, looking at it expressed in different images.
Comparing the ego back then in antiquity,
right,
versus the ego today. The ego back in antiquity, I guess, is not strong enough
right
to be a container.
Right.
That in essence.
Yep.
It seems like, you know, today's ego is much stronger, but I don't know. But that, you know, as far as strength, maybe just define, you know, as far as if strength means being a container, wow, it doesn't feel like. And maybe I'm just looking at the collective.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just a few people. It's just a few people.
It's different. I mean, look at the brutality and criminality of the Roman era. Everybody was murdering everybody just for the heck of it. True. In a cynical moment, you could say, are we any better off? I think we are. But maybe always not so much.
I think, too, Jung was getting that opinion just based on the dreams he was reviewing, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, the potential just being more promising, not that it was met by Pauli, but... You know, it's not. And we just do it more subtly. And then, you know, they went out and slaughtered everybody. We
bombed third world countries.
But we just... You know,
but see, that's it. That Christ is here, and the shadow is here. The good us is here, and the collective us is the army and foreign policy. That's exactly what he's talking about. But, and I'm not trying to approve of that, but I do say, look, in this one sphere, we do have more reflection and control, which is going to allow some people to begin dealing with this other side, psychologically.
And this one sphere would be?
Our so-called civilized world.
So the other world is the mirror, right?
Yeah, it's showing us what's also going on inside us. The okay, I don't want to go too fast, but if you're lost, but I'll move on if you're okay.
I mean, I'm okay. It's just, you know, it's just. I'm okay to wrestle with that, but that's just, you know, saying...
It's a question of gradation.
Yeah.
It's not either or.
Yeah.
What, you're wondering who could possibly represent this new attitude in present society? Is that what's bothering you?
Yeah, I mean, I...
Well, I'll give you a silly example, but I was on the creek a couple of years ago. I was walking down this little itty-bitty street in this little itty-bitty town. And there was a stairway up to a sign that said ophthalmology clinic. The sign was dirty, the stairs were dirty, and there was a dead rat on the stairs. See, it's, now which ophthalmology clinic would you want to go to? See what I mean? There is a certain place where we are more able to function reasonably. Not to say that there aren't many islands where we're not, but that ability is an accomplishment which we can take and look at. Some people can take and look at the areas where we don't function reasonably. Okay, Maria. The big event was in 1950. Pope Pius XII declared that Mary had ascended to heaven and was living with her son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So that the heavens became a quaternity. Jung went bananas over that. felt it was very, very important. Because if we take the feminine as material, that means a step is being taken in which the divinity of the material world is recognized. Again, anticipating in the future that the time will be right for a shift in attitude, and this event is an anticipation of that. The fact that it's anticipatory is indicated by the fact that it's the Virgin Mary. It's matter spiritualized. So you can get matter up there, but it's got to be spiritualized matter. But at least the shift in a new relationship to matter, he felt was being anticipated in that event. And not just that the Pope said that, but apparently that is a folklore tradition of long standing. That Mary ascends to heaven. So what the Pope was doing was simply acknowledging what was moving the collective unconscious.
But prior to that, when supposedly Christ ascended, he was also body too. He was also body and spirit. Because when they went to the tomb, there was no body left, right?
But he was male and he didn't have a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the link is that is the etymological link between mother and matter. And that's how they make that leap. So that is simply a hint or a representation of the kind of shift that we're talking about. In that Jung is saying, you know, we're not alone here in looking at all this stuff. We can see that movement in religious dogma and its change.
So she was taken to heaven as a spiritualized body?
Right.
Is that what they called it?
Right. Well, or, yeah. I'm not sure what they did call it, but I think the fact that she's a virgin, pure. If she's not spiritualized, she's at least pure. And it's like, we don't want to get too close to this matter stuff, but let's play with the idea.
My understanding was that was the important part of it, that her, she had been taken body and soul, soul and body, into the spiritual world.
Jung tells us about how they looked at it somewhere in answer to Job. The exact words, he uses them somewhere in there.
Do we have them here? I don't think we have them here.
To make it clear that it wasn't ordinary matter. She was no longer ordinary matter.
But
somehow.
She was
wearing ultimate idea that matter can, the essence of matter can be still. And it has a kind of a bluish cast to it.
That's coming up next.
Is that coming up next? And I think many pictures of matter has that blue cast to it.
I don't know. I'll check that, Sandy. I don't know exactly what it was. I do know he makes a big deal of the fact that it was a virgin matter. Whatever she is.
So it was to say, all you non-virgins, don't get excited. We're not going to take you.
Don't get too excited. Yeah, I mean, it's like matter, but not matter.
Not ordinary matter.
Not ordinary matter.
Spiritualized.
Spiritualized matter.
Because she was Christ's mother.
Right.
That's the only reason she could.
Right. But still, as an indicator, again, looking at long-term cultural change, he felt that was an indicator. Something is shifting in the collective unconscious. That's On page 100, I don't know if we need to go into this. The three stages of the communitio, we've done that before. You want to hear about that, or you heard enough of it? Heard enough of it? Enough, okay. So, I mean, that's the basic idea, that when, if matter becomes sacred, that means that the spirit in matter, which we see in synchronicity, becomes recognized fully. I mean, this is all, the logical implications are such that we're not going to be there now, but that's where we might be going.
Did he make a big deal out of the fact that now we have an advocate? I mean, I thought that was, did he make a big deal out of that now we have an advocate?
In heaven? Mm-hmm. Well, as a metaphor.
I mean, here it's saying a deep longing in the masses for an intercessor, and mediatrix, and then a mediator making peace between the enemies. But, you know, I thought that was. I mean, that's her core function in the psyche, the mediatrix.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to say that.
That would anticipate that ability,
mm-hmm.
Which would also say that the ego could become
that. To receive matter as a vehicle for spiritual experience. I think that's the bottom line. Remember, Pali can accept matter as a vehicle for consciousness. In his rejection of his feelings for von Franz. That's how, what it plays, what's what it comes down to in actual fact.
Can't accept matter as a vehicle for consciousness?
Yeah. I mean,
just evolution?
Well, von Franz was there to help him with his new professorship. And his body was telling him that.
Let's say the matter that is not his brain, he can't accept as a vehicle for consciousness.
Right. His physical desire.
Okay, I have a question on synchronicity. I always thought it was the non-matter and matter coming together. That is right.
Right.
Okay.
In his case, the matter was her, mm-hmm. and the non-matter was his new professorship. Okay, that takes us to 103. Now we go to the Chinese woman. And we'll continue following materia, the female representation of materia. He starts out on page 103 mentioning that this anima was not going to let him go. And that's what von Franz and Yafei were doing. Yeah.
She literally lays down the lion head of it.
She does.
Yeah, blustering, that's got to hurt. A scientist.
Mm-hmm. So you're okay with that passage, right? Where they're telling him where he's at. Now we come to his reading answer to Job. And we're going to look at the dream he had immediately after reading answer to Job. So you can imagine the things that we've been talking about are going to be now surfacing in this dream. And the real point of all this will be to watch where the feminine is in himself and which the reading of this book is going to point out to him. We're going to see now, what does he learn about himself by reading answer to, what does he learn about this inner woman by reading answer to Job? So, all talk aside now, let's see what the psyche responds with. How, of course, you read the book as a fairy tale is beyond me. See where he says that? I did not read the book critically that evening, but rather as one reads a fairy tale. Well, see, that's the feeling problem.
I think he means he read it without thinking too much about what he was reading.
In a light state of mind. How do you read about evil in a light state of mind? To me, that's the feeling problem again, which we've seen again and again. It just doesn't compute. That's what inferior feeling is like. So, the dream. By the way, I didn't write it down, but it's the 29th dream, and it was dreamt on September the 20th, 1952. At first, I am riding in a train with Bohr. Remember Bohr, one of the three physicists. Then I find myself alone in a stretch of countryside dotted with little villages. Now I start looking for a station so that I can ride off to the left. I soon find it. The train comes from the right and seems to be a small local train. In the car of the train I enter sits the dark girl surrounded by strangers. I ask where we are, and the people say the next station is Esslingen, and we are nearly there. I wake up very annoyed because we have come to such an uninteresting and boring place. Esslingen would be like, think of what's a boring Indiana town?
Richmond
or Kokomo, or I mean, just very...
Terre Haute.
It's smaller than Terre Haute. Okay. I'll let you define it.
No, I don't have anything bad. I just don't say small.
Small and boring. And provincial. That's changed today. Now it's sort of like all these... It's a suburb of Zurich today, and all these are very trendy today. But at that time, it was, you know, like what Castleton might have been 50 years ago. Just out. Interesting detail. He says, Esslingen, it occurred to me this year that I had said goodbye, with respect to Esslingen, it occurred to me this year that I had said goodbye to a friend of my youth from there. Now you can be pretty sure that was an affair. I think.
Is what?
It was an affair. This person he said goodbye to.
Is there a significance of
Esslingen?
Yeah. I mean, the place is there.
Boring. Boring and unimportant.
Oh.
Provincial. Hick. Hickmite.
I was thinking that when I was combing the internet, there was some site over there where they have this big, I guess it's fairly big conference on Jung. Is that where?
Yeah, it's not that way anymore. As I said, it's like Castleton would have been to Indianapolis 50 years ago.
But if I'm correct, the label, the flyer where is a picture of Mary on the front of it. So this young group somehow is tied in with the Mary mythology.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure it's like a suburb today where, you know, like Keystone the Crossing, they put up hotels and conference centers. That's the way it is today. And it's, you know, it's actually rather exclusive living today. It's probably about 20-minute train ride in Missouri. It's quite pretty. It's up in the hills. But I just wanted to point out that it's probably, the dream takes him to Esslingen for a reason, because it's the place where he ended an affair. And we know this is part of his thing, to end relationships with women. I don't know that for a fact, but I would guess. Because in other places he's reported, he looked up old girlfriends and visited them. So I'm thinking this is one more of those. Now what he says is, Jung, you didn't deal with matter in Answer to Job sufficiently. And that is what my dream is telling you about your book, that you have relegated matter to an unimportant area, and that is a lack in your book. That's his interpretation.
Is that it?
Yeah. Let me see.
I'm just
saying
that's a projection.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a projection. Where does he say that? Well, he does admit, before we get there on 105, she has within herself the holistic point of view that is missing from our scientific conceptual system. And another sentence before we get there. The scientific, the heteroskimos between them has not yet succeeded, an occurrence which will appear on the scientific level as the solution of the psychophysical problem, on the human social level as the correct relative valuing of matter and soul. So, see, again, we have some consciousness. Oh, page 105, second paragraph, third sentence, she has within herself the holistic point of view that is missing from our scientific conceptual system. And then go down to the end of that paragraph, go up one, two, four lines up from the bottom of that second paragraph. The heteroskimos between them has not yet succeeded, an occurrence which will appear on the scientific level as the solution of the psychophysical problem, and on the human social level as the correct relative valuing of matter and soul. So Harry gets it. Of course, later he's going to say just the opposite, that There is no real solution to this, and things are kind of okay the way they are. But now to his comment on the book, I'm sort of taking a couple detours. looking at the situation with these eyes, I read through to the end, and promptly the same angry disappointment as was in the dream occurred when I came to the part of the book discussing the dogma pertaining to Mary. There's almost nothing there about matter. On the word incarnation and natural man were obliquely mentioned. Matter as the body of the Madonna was taken up into heaven, but not taken up in the spirit of this book. Thus it remains too much psychically provincial.
So he wanted Jung to talk about matter in terms of synchronicity and other ideas.
He felt that belonged in that book, and that Jung's not doing it was an omission.
I don't see how that's provincial, though.
Well, it's. I don't think anything is relevant here in what he says, because Jung wrote Mysterium Cunctionis. That was the big project at the end of his life. And he wrote three other books alongside it because ideas kept coming up which he felt he couldn't put in that book. One was Ion. Other was Answer to Job. And the third was the synchronicity essay. So the reason he didn't put his comments on matter in that book is because he had saved that for yet another book.
I thought he was reading this as a fairy tale anyway.
And there's a lack of emotional resonance with the work. So what Jung's response is, no, the problem with the dream is your feeling that this woman is in a provincial area. Because that is the state of the feminine in science. And going to work on these problems is a very lonely work, like living in a provincial town.
In his response here, he compares his attitude to the attitude of the Catholic Church. Is that
I never
what
really.
We're saying?
Yes, I never really followed that.
Up at the top of 105.
Yes.
I'm having trouble.
Me too.
Determining if those are his words, what he thinks, or if he thinks this is what Jung thinks.
Let me see.
At the very, very
top. Yeah, that's
top,
it, they're his, that, this is
those a, are his words.
That's quote. He's quoting from him.
He's quoting from you.
No, he's the that, author is quoting from Pally's letter.
So when it says matter in its inorganic form cannot be taken up into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That those are Pally's thoughts,
yes,
or Pally's thoughts of what the church thinks?
I believe he's saying that it's the way Catholicism...
And he's agreeing with
that. No, not necessarily, no. No.
Accordingly with Catholics. So... Well, anyway, my point is that if symbolically, if you're saying that matter can't be taken up into heaven, then you're sort of denying synchronicity.
Yeah, I don't think Pally would have intellectually done that. So that he's saying, isn't it sad that the best we can do is take up the spiritual form of matter in the form of the Virgin Mary? So he's critiquing the...
Okay, that's what I was trying to see.
He's critiquing the... He's speaking ironically.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. That makes sense, then.
So, Neil, if I understand, too, what you were saying earlier about that, Pally had the wrong reaction to what was asked of him in the dream, which was to go with the dark woman to something
right.
that he felt was going to be
right.
boring.
Right.
He really needed to overcome his
right.
need for glitter. And
exactly. You know, this is lonely work. And that's what the dream was showing him.
and he couldn't interpret his own reaction to it. He used his reaction to it as the more valid point than the dream showing that he needed to get off at this place with this woman.
He interpreted it through a projection onto Jung rather than seeing what it said about himself. He thought the dream was talking about Jung's psychology, not his psychology. And, you know, we've asked now, why didn't he do this? Why can't he do this? I think here we have a reason. It's lonely. He doesn't want to be working alone at his desk, writing this stuff up, talking to a small lecture hall, when he can be, you know, the great god of physics, packing them in, saying what wins scientific approval. And it was the loneliness just was too much. I mean, Jung was ostracized in Zurich, completely ostracized. And that's what Pally did not want to put up with.
He wasn't even conscious that he didn't want to put up with that, because he's still projecting.
He's still projecting it, yeah. Now we'll see, it's about time to wrap it up, we'll see the next dream, he is invited to lecture, which the author, I think, correctly takes as a continuation of the theme in this dream, that it's really showing Pally the one who hasn't expressed things isn't Jung, it's you. So this dream, I think, is important for a couple of reasons. You know, this whole thing of Pali's unconscious and its relationship to his reading and so on. But I think it just shows you how far from the glitter of the crowd this work is. And how Pally couldn't really accept that. That takes us over to 106. So maybe we'll just review very briefly what we've done today. 15 pages, not bad. And then we'll pick up with Dream 30 next time. Any loose ends?
Dream and Anne get together and compare the dreams of people nowadays to see where they are in this process. Do we have people like how we dream these kinds of dreams today? Or is it set out more collective?
I mean, I think, sadly, the emphasis in my field is away from dreams.
So people don't put together as people.
No. And the work is not basically on this stuff. It's more on transference and behavior and narcissistic wounds and breasts and bad mothering. I went to a... I'll say why, because it's kind of disgusting. I went to our local Jungian professional group here where a case was presented. Not one dream was... I said 5 times, could we please discuss the dream? Well, I really don't understand. That's the sad truth of my field.
What did they want to discuss?
Transference, early wounding, the relationship to the mother.
Okay. Same old stuff.
Same old stuff.
Yeah.
It's Freud with Jungian words.
Mm-hmm. What does that speaker say when you said you wanted to discuss the dream? You said
I said it 5 times.
They answered, I don't understand it.
Well, I really don't understand, and we got more material. Can we get on with it?
What do you mean you didn't understand it? That was their job.
That's kind of what I said.
Okay. I didn't think you said that. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I was not the popular guy at the meeting. But that's what you got to do if you want to deal with this anima, is go to Esslingen. I think it's still very relevant today. I'm not saying everyone isn't, but no, I think on the whole, work is not being done at depth at this level. So no discussions are not being done, and I think it's sad. Hopefully it will change at some point. I don't know. I think it is important to hear dreams of depth and publish them and then open that up for a public discussion.
I think I've only read one, but me and Sarah Kenny have talked about lunch. It was a parent or Anthropos Corbett had taken a book of.
Yeah, she would be an exception to my statement.
And then her dreams, she injected in there, and then how that worked over.
Yeah, she'd be an exception. She's one of the real ones in my, to my feeling.
Was Colin very exceptional in terms of being parent-driven, or was my expect?
I think he was. I think he was, because he had been so close to history. His unconscious responded. But you can find this in everybody's psyche at some level. Okay, see you in 2.
Where do you want to
speak to? Oh, let's see. How far is the next chapter go? You probably could read to 1:23. No, is that right? Yeah, 1:23.
Thank you. I'm also amazed how you keep all this stuff up there.